her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
After playing what is arguably the best regular season game of his career as the starter in Green Bay, Jordan Love has been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for Week 8. And it might be bigger than the stats, guys. 29 for 37, 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 134.2. That's career high for him, as we mentioned. He also had that 20 straight completions run in the second half of the game, tying Brett Favre, I believe, in 2007. But he says that the confidence that he has right now is at an all-time high. Take a listen to the quarterback, Jordan Love, talking about the confidence that these wins and this success has given him going forward.
No, definitely. I think anytime you play well, it's always a confidence booster. For you, you know, as a team, as an offense, come away with a win, to be able to put up a good second half like that, I think all those things are confidence boosters. I think, you know, getting the player of the week, I think those are just, you know, cool accolades for the side. But I think, obviously, the way you go out there and play, playing well gives you confidence going forward.
Chewy, for you personally, has Jordan Love turned that corner?
No. We'll see how confident he is against the Eagles. That's all I care about. I don't care about the Panthers. Steelers are an average team. He's got to do it against good teams. And he's done it well this year against good teams early in the season. But like you said, you got to stack them. I don't care if they, you know, anybody can beat bad teams. I want to see what you do against good teams. So that will be my test coming up in 2 weeks.
I guess I push back saying the Steelers, I mean, yes, their pass defense is bad, but that's a decent enough team. I mean, we had plenty of people here at ESPN Milwaukee picking to lose that game to Aaron Rodgers. So for them to step up, score the 35 points, him play that well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Going back, but he is starting to stack it. You go back to what they did in the fourth quarter, having the come-from-behind win, throwing that ball that he did to Tucker Kraft on 4th-and-2 to continue that drive against the Cardinals. He is starting to stack it. But to Chewy's point, yeah, now it's, okay, what do you do? And again, to me, this could be a game where his stats don't pop off the page and the Packers still win by a bunch. Just take a look at what Josh Allen did last week against the Carolina Panthers. But it does. Okay, what happens against the Eagles? What happens against that divisional stretch you have against the Vikings, Lions, and Bears as you try to win the NFC North for the first time as the starting quarterback for the Packers? We know the ceiling's high for Jordan Love. We saw it in the back half of 2023. We know what that ceiling is. It's just how often can he get that close to it? He obviously played that well against the Steelers. It's about hitting that mark and playing with that level of consistency.
Which, coincidentally, Gabe and Chu, is the last time that Jordan Love won the award. He won it in Week 17 and Week 18 in 2023 against the Vikings and the Bears, respectively. And there's a stat here that I'm seeing online. Love is now 11-0-1. Hello. As a starter, when he has a 115 or better passer rating, I think he has turned a corner. Or maybe it's just I've turned a corner on him, right? It could be that as well. Like, I've decided to say that seeing the performance that he has given us a couple of times early in the season, this past week against the Steelers, given all of the circumstances that game entailed, I feel like his confidence being high is a very good thing. And I feel like that's going to benefit him as he steps into these more hostile, and I know it won't be hostile at Lambeau Field because it is a home game against the Eagles, but against these tougher teams. It can only be a good thing, him being confident in what he's doing. The accolades, the awards can only be a good thing in helping him realize that he deserves to be in that top tier of quarterbacks in the league. And I feel like that game last weekend was certainly a step in that direction. Gabe, right now, would you put him top five, or does he still have some work to do?
Oh, he still has work to do. It's just so tough to crack that top five, and I understand. I mean, maybe right now because Joe Burrow's hurt, but like that top four is just so entrenched between Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. Like, you've got how many
Josh
MVPs
Allen,
between all those guys? And
I have pushback on Josh Allen. What have you done?
I mean, other than win an MVP?
Won the MVP last year.
Should have went to Lamar. Sorry. But what have you done?
Still,
where do you put Dan Marino, all-time quarterbacks, Gabe?
I mean, I don't have a list off the
top
of my head.
Well, I'm just saying, no, he's not top five. He's probably not even top ten.
He's probably
what did
top
you
ten.
Win? You win nothing. You know what? You know why Tom Brady is considered one of the best? Because he won 7 Super Bowls. Right? If Josh Allen, and I don't mean to pivot here, but I just want to make my point, and what Jason really said earlier is like, you know, when I was talking about the extension for Goody and LaFleur, that's great. You go 13-3-1 and then lose in the first or second round. Like, who cares? This game is all about championships now and what you do with it, especially when the window is wide open. That's why I'm saying you've got to win big games. You start by winning big games in the regular season, and then that translates over to the playoffs. Well, Josh Allen wins big games in the regular season, and he doesn't do crap in the playoffs.
Well, hold on. He goes to AFC championship games, too.
And loses. But let me ask you this, guys.
Okay, so we think that the top four are pretty well entrenched, even if, Chu, you debate a little bit of where Josh Allen is. Who else is a contender right now for that 5 spot? Because Jordan Love, I would argue, based on passer rating in 2025, is right now in the 5 hole. You got Lamar Jackson, Drake May, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, and Jordan Love. Obviously, Jared Goff is on that list where we don't have him as the top 5 quarterback in the league right now. But I would make the argument that Jordan Love is the front runner right now for that number 5 spot.
I still have Jalen there, Jalen Hurts. He doesn't get as much respect as he should. Chewy, if you disrespect Jalen Hurts after what you just said about winning big games.
No, Jalen's done it. He's done it. It's like Donovan McNabb. Where do you put Donovan McNabb?
But I could also make the argument, guys, that you would take Joe Burrow out of that list right now because he's injured. So top 5 in the league right now. Are you telling me you don't think Jordan Love has a good shot at that spot?
Well, what do you do with
Daniel Jones?
What do you do with
better?
Washington Commanders?
Jaden Daniels?
Forget about him. Play games? I don't know.
So you don't think he'll ever be good again?
I think he has a very big issue with staying healthy, his slight frame. I mean, Joe Burrow has now, everyone's going to keep putting him up there, but he has no business being there. He can't play.
If you think Mahomes and Allen and Hurts and who am I missing?
Lamar
are the top 4 quarterbacks right now in the league. Mm-hmm. Who else competes with Jordan Love right now for that 5 spot? Is it Jared Goff? Is it Jordan Love? You putting Drake May there?
So,
Stafford's having a pretty good year.
Yeah, you'd have Stafford up there.
Again, Jordan has a better passer rating. And again, you could look at any stats you want to look at. I just happen to have chosen that one right now. Jordan has a better passer rating in 2025 than Daniel Jones, Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, even Josh Allen, actually. Let's put that on the poll. Is there anybody else we should throw into consideration there, Joshy? If you believe that those 4 that I mentioned are the top 4, who else, in addition to Jordan Love, would you pick for the 5th?
Baker was in the conversation a week or two ago.
For MVP, yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
He has a 98.1 passer rating. Again, not the end-all, be-all, but sometimes you look for something that sort of aggregates all of the passing stats, and they try to use, you know, passer rating and QBR as the indicator of that, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, look, It's about consistency. That's mm-hmm. what he has to do more.
Yeah.
Like, this week was great, but if he goes and plays mediocre against the Panthers and then doesn't and plays like he did against the Browns, against the Eagles, suddenly this all goes away. It's about maintaining that level against mm-hmm. those good. I'm really excited to see if he's going to be able to do it because that's the next step. And to me, that's the final step of Jordan Love's evolution. We know that the ceiling is high. We know how high it can be. Can you be able to maintain that and be able to live in that area? You're going to have bad games. Brett had bad games. Aaron had bad games. Even mm-hmm. the years they won the MVP, right? Bad games are going to happen. They might happen against good opponents. But if you can play well and sustain the high level that he played against the Steelers for 14 out of the 17 games in a season, that's how you arrive into that conversation of being a top 5 and being looked at that universally as a top 5 guy.
Let us know what you think. If you think that Mahomes and Allen and Lamar and Hurts are the top 4 quarterbacks in the league right now, 2025, does Jordan Love deserve that 5th spot? Or is there someone else? Is it a Jared Goff? I got people on the talk and text line saying that think it should be Justin Herbert, who right now has a 97 passer rating in the league.
You guys, now you want to talk about never winning anything.
Yeah, there you go. I was just going to say. Baker?
Baker could be on the list. Drake May could be on the list. I guess Daniel Jones could be on the list.
And you're not talking about never winning anything. You're stooping for Baker over there versus Josh Allen.
You know what? Baker's done it without receivers, too, okay? He's been without Godwin and Evans.
Evans is hurt.
You want to talk about doing it without receivers? Have you paid attention to the Bills
roster? We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Top 8 at 8 coming up. And I want to talk about what the Lions are doing. And that is spending and spending and spending all the money to build their roster. That's coming up in on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you're responsible for that holiday party at your company, the place to go, it is X-Golf Inside of American Family Field. Unique space. It has, of course, the 7 state-of-the-art simulators that they can set up fun games that everybody is going to enjoy. Andy Barrett will make sure, their GM and pro over there, can make sure that you have a great time. But it's not just the simulators that make that space. Inside the ballparks, you get a great view of left field inside the stadium. It's fantastic. And it's unlike any other space, plus a couple of full bars, unique menu as well. You should be checking out X-Golf at American Family Field for that corporate party this holiday season. Find out more. XGolfAmFamField.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is their new restaurant, the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails. It's your destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. The studio is the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. Be boldly social at the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails, now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
The Top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you for this segment, Joshy?
Gabe gave me the list, and I was able to do 7 of them from the top of my mind. Also, Chewy took part in some of these, so I think we have a little bit of an advantage.
I think you guys have a good chance at running it, and if you don't, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, be prepared.
List of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth once you each get one incorrect. No mulligans, because this is an easy list this week. No mulligans.
No mullies.
So once you get one incorrect, we open up to the fans, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. The Packers have played 8 teams in NFC Championship games. Name those 8 teams.
Chewy, I feel like you should be able to start this off.
Just one?
Well, you start with one, and then Jen goes
Carolina,
with one.
Carolina.
The Carolina Panthers.
You go ahead. You got some
in 1996. We go back and forth. That's how the game works.
Okay. NFC Championship game against the Tampa Bay Tommy Buccaneers.
2020, Tampa Bay is on the list.
San Fran
happened twice, 2019 and 1997.
I know they beat the Chicago Bears in the NFC Championship game the year they won the Super Bowl.
Get to the Super Bowl in 2010.
New York.
The Giants in 2007.
I forgot about that one. Darn it. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like we're going back to Chewy's time.
No, I already.
You nailed both of them already?
I nailed both of them, yeah.
Crap.
No, I didn't. There's one more, sorry.
Chew. Reset the list for me. Just reset the list.
Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Chicago.
Order, right? Backwards order? He's going order? Like
I'm just naming them in any random order.
Oh, shoot.
So there's 8 of them. It's not like, oh, this is too far back. No, they've only played 8 teams.
Okay.
Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and Carolina.
The good news is it's just going to be NFC teams. So that is...
I need an answer.
Helping.
Good stall, though.
Seattle in 2014.
Dallas.
How'd that game go, by the way?
Dallas, 3 times. 95, 66, and 67. Jen, can you get the last one?
Did you say there are double ups? Did you do double ups? Other teams? Yes, you said Dallas, they played three times. You said San Francisco, they played multiple times. So again, we're eliminating
teams. So there's only
teams.
Eight teams. Need an answer in 3, 2, 1. Chewy, can you get the last one?
Hotlanta?
Atlanta in 2016.
Yes, that is definitely the answer.
Nice. Good job, Jen.
Again, I got a bunch of those. Yeah, that's right. That? Many of those games. Yeah. I didn't know if it was sarcasm or not. Okay, I'm sorry.
Again, I would have been disappointed if you guys could not run that very simple list.
Wow. So look at what Gabe has had to do. He's had to go to who have the Packers played in the NFC Championship game?
We had a come to Jesus moment. We needed to self-evaluate.
Yeah, that was
to
get back on the clock, basically, right?
Again, like Jordan Love was getting confidence. Hopefully that gives you guys confidence moving forward.
Yeah, a little bit. Know Nothing Jon Snow in the YouTube stream says, the slate last week was the worst I could ever remember.
What was it?
Oh, I've met Men in Black that from
I wasn't
memory.
Here, was I?
You think you're just taking off random Thursdays now? Teams Aaron Rodgers has thrown the least amount of interceptions against.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I guess, Packers? Gabe was like, he hasn't played the Packers yet, Jen.
She kept guessing answers after not listening to the instructions.
I definitely wasn't listening.
We have both a listening comprehension and memory.
Was that like
here.
listening, comma, comprehension, comma, memory problem here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys, if you find yourself struggling, BetterHelp could be the answer for you. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, and I have told you that they've got 30000. That's 30,000 therapists as the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally and have a rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. That's a lot of numbers I'm throwing at you there as I talk about BetterHelp. But the number you need to know is #250. Call #250, say the keyword timeout. You'll get 10% off your first month with BetterHelp. And remember, if you don't like the therapist that you get paired with, they will switch it. No problem. No questions asked. The keyword is timeout. Call #250 because we are all better with help. Use BetterHelp.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp. And now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. So how does Mentality help? Well, they deal with low testosterone, and a lot of times, doctors can overlook free testosterone levels, which Mentality really focuses on making sure that your treatment is tailored to your body. Some symptoms of low testosterone include low energy and fatigue, weight gain, muscle loss, especially belly fat. You feel anxious, moody, irritable, loss of motivation, all signs of low testosterone. So go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio, to book your first appointment. You go through the process, get a full physical consultation and blood panel. And if your testosterone levels are low, you can then work with Mentality on getting that customized testosterone treatment. The results? Your energy comes roaring back. Your belly fat burns off. The muscle strengthens. But maybe more importantly, you start to feel like yourself again. Confident, driven, ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be your best for yourself and for your family. Go to mentalityhealth.com/radio. Mentalityhealth.com/radio to book your first appointment today.
Guessing you saw the news yesterday that Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson became the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history with a $180 million deal over 4 years, $141 million guaranteed.
Highest guarantee in NFL history.
Highest guaranteed money in NFL history.
Because Micah is still the highest AAV.
Yeah, so let's talk about that AAV thing for a moment, because you have a list there from our buddies over at SpoTrack. And when we talk about the Detroit Lions, Gabe, it feels like everybody has the category or the distinction, rather, of highest paid alongside their contract extension announcements. Now, I know there are ways of manipulating those numbers, right? We've talked about that with Adam Schefter. We understand that the agents want that distinction of highest paid. But Adam Schefter put out a list yesterday. It has Aiden Hutchinson on the list, Jared Goff on the list, Amon-Ra St. Brown on the list, Penny Sewell on the list, Jameson Williams on the list, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you said, yeah, it's not a coincidence.
No, in terms of annual average value, the Lions now have 7 players in the top 100 in terms of the highest annual average salary that they make on a per year basis. That ties them for the most with the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas is third with five. So Detroit was six before yesterday. Now they find themselves in that tie for first. And the eighth player on that list, Taylor Decker, who's their left tackle, he's 108th on the list. So there's another just player outside that they're paying a lot of money to at $20 million per year. They've figured out a way to make it work for them.
Chewy, you could argue that the Eagles are the proof of concept, right? Because they have obviously paid all their guys. They have a Super Bowl title under their belt. Is Detroit just simply trying to duplicate that blueprint? Are they trying to say, hey, you guys showed us the recipe. We're just going to follow it. We're going to pay all of these guys because we think they are the best at their position, and that should lead us to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, there's different formulas, I would think. They do it a little differently. They pay two receivers where Green Bay typically doesn't pay any. They're going to have to pay their tight end, though, this year. But I would guess, what's LaPorta, Gabe? Is he going? He's got to be close to signing an extension because he's been pretty darn good. And they might not be able to do it. My guess is they'd let him walk because you're already paying St. Brown and Williamson a lot of money. I don't know. There's just a formula. And I think Green Bay just does it a little different. But I think they're on to something. Like, if I was to do it, I would not pay two receivers big money like Cincinnati. I just wouldn't do it. So there is a formula.
But, I mean, the formula of those two teams, true, of Detroit and Philadelphia, they've both paid wide receivers.
I know, but doesn't it feel like Detroit's window is kind of closing a little bit like San Fran? Like, this may be their last.
I guess, I mean, I don't feel that way because a lot of these guys are young. It's not like these guys are signing their third contract. All these guys are on their second contract.
Well, that's the thing we still need to mention, guys. The reason they're in this position and they're able to pay these guys is because they have drafted well. Like, most of these guys that we mentioned there, with the exception of Jared Goff, right, were drafted by the Detroit Lions. So you drafted well, they perform, they produce, so you give them the bag. Like, I understand that the salary cap exists. It's not just this arbitrary thing. But it is interesting that there are teams out there that seem to be able to manipulate it in certain ways. And have we seen enough, quote unquote, manipulation of the salary cap by the green and gold? That's my question to you. Or is it they haven't drafted well enough to be paying these guys the way that Detroit and the way that Philadelphia are paying their guys?
We're about to find out for the Packers. Because we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Chew, with Quay Walker. Obviously, you had already mentioned Tucker Kraft. I mean, there are a lot of guys that are going to be coming up here in the next offseason or two that they're going to have to pay and have this core. Detroit has identified that core and have identified the guys that they're willing to pay a bunch of money to. So they've got to figure out, okay, who are we going to let go? Who are we going to sign? For the Packers, yeah, I mean, obviously you've paid Jordan Love. You've paid Micah Parsons. You went out and you paid, I'm not going to include Josh Jacobs on this list because that's kind of a pay-as-you-go, but you paid Xavier McKinney in free agency. You gave a big contract to Zach Tom. So now after those four, okay, who else are going to fill out your seven or eight that you're willing to pay like the Eagles have, like the Lions have? Who's going to fill out the rest of that for the Packers? And that's what they're about to figure out.
I like Green Bay's formula because on the offensive side of the ball, they're kind of injury-proof. And what I mean by that is if Detroit and Philly, for whatever reason, lose their top two receivers, it's really not recoverable. Where if Green Bay loses their top, which they have, it's still recoverable. Even if they lose Tucker Kraft for an amount of time, you still have enough receiver depth. And I'm not saying they would be as good, but it's still recoverable because you could put another receiver on the field for Kraft in passing situations, and I still think you're going to be fine, even at the running back position.
But you're not winning a Super Bowl. True. Yeah, you might be okay. You might be fine. But if you're the Packers, I'm saying for an extended amount of time. But
if you lose
two guys, like, yeah, you're probably not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, whether you're paying those guys or not.
If you lost Kraft for five games, you still got a chance to win those five games. If you lose A.J. Brown and who's the other one?
Devontae Smith.
You're not winning five games.
I think the Eagles could.
I don't know. I don't think Detroit could.
I think Detroit could.
I guess I thought that the Saints were supposed to be this cautionary tale of go ahead and spend like crazy, but you're going to have to pay the piper at some point, and now they're basically in purgatory. Are teams just not afraid of that anymore, Joshy? Is that what's happening?
The Saints were a particularly bad case because they kept kicking the can down the road. Drew Brees was a large portion of that, and they kept just acquiring bad contracts that didn't end up to work out for them. And they, instead of doing the we need to reset, which we saw the Detroit Lions do, they kept just trying to put together the best team possible with the limited amount of assets. The thing that the Packers have done that a lot of people don't really recognize is they did sort of break it down to the studs and start all over. It just didn't look as ugly as it has for some other teams because there was enough quality players on that.
Looked ugly for a half season.
Right, right. And that's really all that happened. So, like, when you have a good team and a veteran team, you have to start kicking the can down the road in terms of contracts. You start adding void years. You push money out into the future. And the dirty little secret, I think, is if you really want a guy to be on your team, you're going to figure out a way. It might cost you in 4, 5, 6 years when they're not even on your team anymore. But if you really think a guy is foundational to what you have and what you need to win a Super Bowl, then you are going to figure out a way to get that contract done. It's just a matter of, does your team eval them as that important? Like, most of the people the Packers have moved on for is not because, oh, we couldn't afford it. It's, oh, because we didn't think he was good enough. We wanted to upgrade that position.
Which, again, goes back to talent evaluation little bit, which goes back to the guys that you're drafting and if you're missing on your draft picks.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like who can you truly think of in recent memory where somebody was a big free agent and you go, yeah, this team just simply cannot pull off paying them. It seemingly never happens. It's almost always they didn't value this guy. They didn't think he like the Giants, and that was a bad eval. Well, with Xavier McKinney, and with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, the Giants because they could have paid
easily
Saquon, but they decided that they didn't want to. Well, we already gave all this money to Daniel Jones, so we can't, which was just an excuse.
Correct. And that's what ends up happening a lot of time and why teams have egg on their face.
Because the Eagles have also paid the Eagles paid their quarterback more than the Giants paid Daniel Jones and made it work for Saquon Barkley.
Do you want the Packers to start doing this? Do you want them to start every contract they're handing out is highest paid, no matter what the criteria is, whether it's the AAV that Gabe was talking about or whether it's just guaranteed money, which is another way that people measure it. Do you want them to start doing that, or do you like the way that they've been going about their business?
I think guys deserving of it, absolutely. Like Tucker Kraft, yes. Zach Tom deserves to be one of the top paid. A guy like Quay Walker, I don't think should be coming in at the top paid, but I do think he would be worth paying and keeping around on the team. It's all the matter of the fact is the Lions just hit on like six different guys in the matter of 2 years, and then they just ended up paying them all because they were all deserving of some of the highest numbers in the NFL. I think it's based on making the proper evaluation and then negotiating with the agent like, hey, he's good, but he ain't the other guy. He's not Fred Warner.
And of the eight that they have given big time money to, only one is the highest paid in terms of annual average value. So just using the Hutchinson example, okay, they gave the agent a win in the guaranteed money because it's the most guaranteed money ever for a non-quarterback. So then the total money ends up ultimately coming in underneath what Micah Parsons was. So it's kind of figuring out where that sweet spot is of, hey, giving them a win, giving us a win, because the only one who's number one at their position in terms of AAV on the Lions is Penei Sewell. He's the highest paid right tackle in football.
And look, if we didn't have the example of the Eagles that we just mentioned, where they also have a number of players on that list in the top 100, I think you said it was 7 as well, right, Gabe?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have that example, you could make the argument that what the Lions are doing is desperation, right? They've been a bum franchise for years and years and years, but in the last few seasons, they've been able to put something together. They've been able to compete for NFC championships, and all of a sudden, you know, they're throwing money at the problem, essentially. But maybe this is the way, if you believe that the salary cap is a farce, maybe this is the way to build a championship team, too.
All those players you named, they drafted them, right?
Yes. Outside of Goff.
So, outside of Goff, yeah.
So 7 of the 8 that they have paid $20 million or more to, they drafted 7 of those, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of the key.
And I think, honestly, it's probably what the Packers are going to ultimately end up doing. So they've got, the Packers have 4 on this list, too. They had drafted 3 of them. I mean, the highest, the one that's on the list for them would be Xavier McKinney.
Yeah.
Well, I guess no, because Micah. So Micah, 2 of the 4.
Yeah.
And the other was Jordan and who else?
Jordan and Xavier.
Xavier. No, you said Xavier already.
Yeah, so Xavier, Micah.
And Micah, yeah.
So Xavier, Micah, Zach Tom and
Jordan.
Jordan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You could win big this October at Pottawatomie by playing Bird Bash. It is a game show for $50,000 in cash. Play with your rewards card for entries. They do prize drawings on Thursdays. Plus, your play earns you a shot at the $300,000 December season finale. It's Bird Bash only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. For more information and details, visit Pottawatomie.com/Bird Bash.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Do you need some organization in your life? How about beauty to some of your storage spaces? Closets by Design can help. I worked with Doug and his team in Mequon to create a warm, incredible space for my new closet. And what really stood out was the personal attention. They took the time to understand exactly what I needed, showed me the great options, and made sure everything fit my space and style perfectly. Closets by Design has been a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982, combining quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction. If you are ready to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. We put a couple things on the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. First was about the honey-do list. Do you like a honey-do list? 59% of people said yes, they are pro honey-do list. Chew, I never figured out if you were pro or con. You like the honey-do list?
Yeah, I like it. Gives me something to do. I got time.
Isn't that why she does it?
Yeah.
Keep you busy, keep you occupied, keep the old brain spinning.
She's a grind.
It's amazing that somebody in the same week can say something like, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting my time? And then, nah, I got time.
Well, I just don't need the stupid stuff, like trim a leaf off the tree. Okay, yeah, I'll get there eventually. Jeez, I'm cool.
We also asked you on the Infinity Exteriors poll, who is the next best quarterback behind Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, and Hurts? Right now, 34% of the vote have Jordan Love, 28% of the vote has Justin Herbert, 20% of the vote has Jared Goff, and 18% of the vote has Baker Mayfield. Go ahead and weigh in on that as you turn your attention to Wildy and Tausch. They're next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Okay. Southbound on 41, still a little bit backed up from